Hello.
Hey-o.
Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? Good. It's so nice to see lots of faces and lots of very fabulously well-dressed people this morning. I see the effort you've made. We are here now in this section to speak to the people that we're here for, the people that we're celebrating this morning. And, you know, whether you know it or not, David and Helen have had an impact on your life. If you are sat in this room, they have cultivated a culture. They have listened to God. They have made big decisions and they have given their lives so that you and the generations before you and the generations after you might experience God the way that they have, as well as trying to make Wigan a fantastic place and really build it up. And you know Dave. You definitely know Dave's face, but you might not know Helen's as much. She doesn't love being on stage, but let me tell you what, these last 25 years, Dave and Helen have led this church together, and we are going to celebrate them. So on your feet and welcome them as they join us on stage this morning. David and Helen Belfield, everybody. You can take your seats.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do this, first of all, for us to interview. And just to say, we've got kids release in a little bit. We really wanted the opportunity for our kids' church volunteers to be here to hear some of the stories David and Helen might share, and obviously for the kids to see it too. So, how are you both?
We're here.
We're fine,
yeah,
we're
good.
You,
yeah, I'm good. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Excellent. We've got four balloons for you here.
So oh, there's brilliant. No thank you so much. No expense spared. I love it.
Okay.
Excellence
sorry.
Personified. Yeah. Come on.
All right. So let's just jump straight into it. So when we look back over your 25 years leading the church community, can you just share two or three standout moments that have happened over that period?
Went fast, didn't it? You gonna go? Yeah, go on, you talk. No, no, you talk. I always talk, you talk.
That's right, come on!
All right, okay, I'll go first then. All right, so honestly, like, I don't wanna be super cheesy, but I started thinking about standout moments, and there's so many, you just kind of think of your life and think of there's loads of stuff. But the kind of first thing I wanna say is the standout moment is like loads of moments, and that was just watching my kids at certain points grow up in this community. You know, it's just like, just certain moments, their baptisms, their, you know, just like you've got kids and you see those, they've just been incredible moments for us, seeing our kids in this environment. It's been amazing.
And your grandkids now as well.
And grandkids,
yeah, she's wonderful.
Of course.
Yeah, what about you, Helen? What's one of your standout moments?
Right, Dave says he can remember lots. You know, I can't remember anything. I can't remember what I did last week, so honestly, I'm sure there's been lots, but I wrote down that today will be a standout moment, and that is probably because, not just today, but every week, you just see so many people come in, finding God, and just being part of this community. And it's not just, you know, it's people of all ages, from small, you know, young to older, people from all ethnicities. Just so much diversity. And for me, that's a standout moment. Every week's a standout moment because I'm just so thankful for what God's doing in this place.
I've gone. You get a clap. I've got a cheeky standout moment. So years ago, in the early days when we were kind of just transitioning the church into what we saw really that we could be. And I remember doing this preaching series called Pentecostal Icons, which is like out there, right? And I was just challenging this thought that we look at the high church and we call and we, you know, criticize, or they do this ceremonial thing. And I'm like, we're just the same. We're just the same. And it was this particular Sunday we did communion, and I thought, we need to show that it's about what it's about and not what we use, okay? So we would normally have Jacob's crackers back in the day and Ribena, right? So I said to the guys, this week we're going to do communion, and I want you to go and buy a load of brownies and bottles of Coke. So we turned up on Sunday morning, we celebrated Jesus and commemorated his death with brownies and Coke. That was. Does anybody ever remember that? If you give me, you're not going to admit to being here on that morning. And it was really just to show, you know, guys, it's not about what we take, it's about what it means. And that's just some. That was just a standout moment, really, for me. And one last quick standout moment would be, obviously, you've got to talk about the opening of the site, okay? When we built this and all the time that it took and what have you. And on that day, some of you will remember my father and my mother did the opening. Yeah. Steve Matthew alluded to it a couple of weeks ago when he was doing the talk. And I think it was just so special, particularly for me, in the fact that that moment, okay, so it was about the opening of the building and all the hard work that had been put in. But more than that, it was about honoring my mum and dad.
That's right.
And it was kind of, for me, without going into the whole story, a point of reconciliation, which was a very special moment for me as well.
Good. Very good. Who thinks we should do brownies and Coke every communion? Can I get an
well,
amen?
Can I say something on that before you continue? Is that... So I got a call off, because I was a youth leader at the time under Dave, and I got a call from Deanery High School to say, one of the pupils that goes to your church has put in his exam that what do people take for Holy Communion? Cookies and Coca-Cola.
Come on!
And we know about your church. Is that true? I was like, yeah, give him the point. Okay, and he passed the test.
Awesome.
All right, so what you might not know is that Dave has had a stonking career even before taking on the senior leadership chair of this church. And one of his finest career moments is creating and releasing his own album.
With his siblings and his
family.
Yeah,
it was a whole
family
thing. And he took it on tour around the world. And it still is a big deal, okay? So tell your friends. And I think what we've got is maybe a little bit of a taster.
No!
Of what that sounded like.
No.
Who would like to hear it?
I'm so glad you got it.
Play the music, guys. Let's do it. And let's listen.
Is it just a figment of imagination?
Or is it just...
Or is it just a story
that you heard?
We all know it. Come on, let's go.
Yeah. No, it's
here we go.
Jesus,
oh, listen, that's me. Can I just say, it sold thousands of copies around the world.
I know we're kind of...
Maranatha.
Oh, come on.
Maranatha.
Come on, everybody.
Come on, you know.
Jesus is coming.
Oh, okay. Don't make any theological
get your lights
points
out.
This
come
morning.
On. Come on, get your phone lights out. Come on.
Any day now. Any day now.
You're so kind.
Jesus is coming.
I think you must play this at the Pearly Gates. It feels so weird and surreal that I'm
here.
Okay, so, thank you guys. But you might not know that Dave went on to release a few more albums that you might not know about. One included Heads. So here's his next... big hit. This is his second album. Can we get it on screen, guys? So this is called Has the Geek Faith. And it sold over 10 copies in Wigan. And then we've got his follow-up album, which I personally love, and it's called On the Water with Jesus. The story goes, he recorded that while stood on the water, but no one's there. And finally, we have one from Dave and Helen together. This is the final album called Family on Mission, which they did together. And we have created CDs, and we're going to give you one all after the gathering. No, I'm joking, not really.
And we actually wish that we'd thought ahead and done that, to be honest. But thank you very much to Dave's wonderful mother, Barbara, for supplying us with the LP to be able to do that.
Thanks for that, Mum.
So we'll move back. We'll go more serious. We'll move back to the questions. That's fine. This is actually one that I wanted to ask because over the years, if you've been around a while, even if you're not, but probably if you've been here more long term, you might recognise some messages. When you think of Dave, like standout messages that he's brought or series, and I was interested to find out what you think, what those were for you. Maybe three standout ones.
Okay. For those of you who've been coming long enough, you know that I only ever preach one message. It's the truth about potential of people's lives. So that's just been brought in different ways over the years. One standout one to me, because I think it really helped the church, is a good number of years ago now, called generational sameness. Does anybody remember that? And just this whole thought of, you know, the just sameness that comes in life, and sameness has to be changed. And I just spoke about breaking that containment, because sameness contains us, right? And we live in a town where there's a lot of sameness, but some of you have actually changed the culture that's in the town by the nature of generational sameness and shifting from where it was. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
What else?
I mean, one that, this might be completely irrelevant, right? But hopefully someone remembers this. I don't remember what the series is about. I think it might have been Land of the Giants.
Land of the Giants.
And he said, oh no, not the Nephilim. No, does anybody remember that?
I think that was a television program you were watching.
No, seriously, do you remember that, Rage? I knew I hadn't made it up. Anyway, go on, that's just my fave, go on. I don't know what it was about either. I just liked the voice he did. It really impacted me over the years.
Thanks, Hannah. Does anybody remember? Here's one. Will the real you please stand up? Okay, which really was about taken from the life of King David, and when he was going to fight Goliath, and the whole narrative of where he's with Saul, and Saul's trying to get him to wear his armor, and this really was about not trying to live to the expectations that others have put on your life. You know, wear this. You need to wear this. I kind of felt that in my life many, many years ago now when I was younger, you know, from family, from church community. This is what you need to look like, pastor. Well, how many know that I ditched the word pastor straight away? And it was not living to the expectations of others, but being the real you that God created you to be and flourishing in who God's called you to be. So that was a special kind of talk, yeah, really. And then I suppose the real standout one would be events versus environments. You know, this is now still obviously something. There are some talks that you give, there are some things that come of revelation. And the whole idea that we're not just about events and creating events, even though we create great events, but about life being an environment. You know, you can't take this event to work tomorrow morning, but you can take the environment of your life. And if we shape those environments, we can then be not only who we are here, but everywhere else in the marketplace. That's where the thing came from, that we create irresistible environments where people can find their way back to God. That's not just about now, that's about tomorrow morning when you're at work. And so that was a very shaping thing for the church.
Brilliant.
At the time.
Yeah, excellent. As we kind of reflect a little back, what are the couple of things you've learned about leading? Maybe I'll start with you, Helen, if that's okay. What are some things that you've kind of learned along the way that might give us an insight to what it was like?
I think probably one I've learned a lot more recently. I think we all learn lessons, don't we, whether you're in leadership or just life, which is leadership. But anyway, is listening well. Yeah. So listen to people, listen to what people are saying, and sometimes listen to what people aren't saying. And listen to God. You know, if you're of faith, listen to what God's saying to you. Something else I've learned is to live with open hands. You know, sometimes we have things and we want to hold on to them. The best way to live, in my opinion, is to live with hands like this. You know, what you get can transfer out to other people, and that's important in life. Another thing which I've learned, which is probably more sort of in the position we've held, is to keep a soft heart but a hard skin, because sometimes, and that's for everybody, isn't it, in life, no matter what you're doing, but to keep your heart soft before God. Sometimes you have to toughen up a bit on the outside because perhaps people say some things to you or you don't like some stuff, but to keep your heart soft all the time If your heart's soft, you're open to what God can say to you.
Very good. Yeah. So Helen texted me in the house this morning.
We don't speak much.
I got this. She was upstairs getting ready. I was already ready. And she texted me saying, do you want me to send you my notes of what I'm going to say? I said, yeah, if you want, like. So she sent me the notes, and I read this stuff. I'm like, that's really good. I said, it's better than mine. I texted her back, it's better than mine. She said, it's not a competition, Dave. I know that, Aunt. I realise that. Something I've learned is don't say it can't happen. Don't say it can't happen. I was told many, many times from different people, different aspects of church life, what could happen, what couldn't happen in this town. And, you know, Wigan is a proof. This church community is a proof that don't say it can never happen, because Wigan proved that it could. And there's so much I could say about that. I leave that to your own kind of thoughts and imaginations. But Wigan is the proof that don't say it can never happen. God can do what you'll allow him to do, you know, and what you can assist him to do in that sense. There's one thing I've learned. Do you want more or not? Is that?
We've got more questions.
Okay, well, go for questions.
We've got one more question.
Yeah, cool.
Before, kids, you're doing so well. Thank you, parents, as well. I know it's difficult when you've got kids in. The final question is, if you had to sum up your experience of the last 25 years in one word, I know it's difficult, what would it be? And then maybe a brief explanation of why you picked that word. You can choose between you who goes first. It's not a competition.
It's not a competition. No, it's not a competition, but I'll go first.
Thanks, Reuben. We knew.
Yeah, lots of words you can think of, but the word that I came up with was full. I think I've been part of this church community in a different location since I was 19. That's coming up to 40 years. I know it doesn't look it. And my life turned around when I became a Christian, when I found Jesus for myself. So that was the start of my journey. And I think my life from then, and obviously leading here for the past 25 years and before in different sort of youth or what have you, just been enriched by you guys, you people, you know, because for me, it's been a privilege to be a part of some of your lives, some of the things, you know, the ups and downs of life. Life's never a straight line, is it? There's lots of bumps, some difficult times, really difficult times, and there's some really joyful times. And my life's been enriched by that, because it's not just about me, it's about our lives together as a community. So full, yeah, full.
Excellent. Yeah, so my word, I'd kind of come up with two, because I had just one, but I'll...
Of course you did.
Okay, so the first word that I came up with was interesting, you know. I think over 25 years, it's kind of interesting, you know. Interesting, you know. Interesting. Everything. There's a story behind all of those things, of course, of the interesting way that God has done some things. And one thing I could say within that interesting thing is that I understand that, and I believe that God is more interested in what he's trying to do in us than what he's trying to do through us. And that's been my experience, that it's like, you know, whatever the church is coming into, God has taken me through, he's taken us through first. That's been a pattern of the last 25 years, if not the last 36 years, actually, that we've been on staff. And it's kind of, that's rolled out, that the stuff that God's done in me, and I'm like, I know this is going to happen to the church now, and it has every single time. Second word I would say is evolution, not a word you hear much in church community. You know, after our revolution all those years ago, it's been evolution. I've said all along, change is here to stay. And I think this church community has got to where it has because it's had the ability to change. And I would say evolution doesn't stop here. It continues to change. What we are today, we will not be in 12 months' time. It continues beyond our tenure, if you like. And so evolution would be another word.
That's great.
It's been a wonderful and it's been a privilege to be part of a community that you both have led so fantastically. And not only is it a celebration about what you've achieved and what we've achieved, but it's also a celebration as we look ahead, not just for you guys obviously still being part of our church community, but the wonderful things God's going to do outside of here to the nation and the nations as well. And I know there's many people watching online and will watch this back from all over the place. So we have just a small gift of appreciation for you guys, just to say thank you. And there's some flowers and wine.
You shouldn't have told them what it was. They'll all want some.
Yeah, it's true that.
Holy Communion, anybody?
Okay, I think that's it for this section, and we're going to be praying and hearing some more stories a little bit later on, but I think it's time that we thank Dave and Helen and let them go and sit back down.
Thanks, guys.